turn together to Psalm 20. We'll note that this is a Psalm of David. You might think, well, of course it's a Psalm. It's in the book of Psalms. Well, Psalm, as some Psalms are called Psalms proper, so to speak. Some are hymns. Some are songs that are given by the Spirit of God. Some of them are called different combinations of these things. This one is a Psalm of David. May the Lord answer you in the day of trouble. May the name of the God of Jacob defend you. May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. May he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice, Selah. May he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May Jehovah fill all your petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They have bowed down and fallen, but we have risen and stand upright. Save, Lord. May the king answer us when we call. Now, a lot of us really love to sing this, so I'm using the version, the second version in our psalm book, because the tune is so pretty. But that's not the only reason we love it. We love it because of the text itself. And of course, the tune is something that is man-made. It may, it may please our sense of beauty. It may please our sense of enjoyment. But the psalm itself, the text itself, is that which is given by God and which fits in with what is spoken of about all of God's Word, that it is breathed out by him. And it is profitable, not was once upon a time, it even now is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that we who are the people of God, may be completely equipped for every good work. There is no need for, there is no existence of any other revelation, say, that was given to the elders long ago and treasured up by their followers and written down in a Talmud. There is no extra revelation that was written up by the, that was spoken secretly to the apostles and passed along through apostolic, passed along to the bishops and so on and so forth, this oral tradition that is an addition to the scripture. No, what we have is completely all we need. And Paul there was mostly speaking of the Old Testament, which is what we find here in the book of Psalms. Now, we want to note that we have no idea what the occasion was when David wrote this, but as Larry so often points out, most of the time we don't even need that. And there is a reason why God did not include it, because it is not ultimately something merely for David. It is not merely something for the people of God in David's time. It is for all the people of God in all time, and ultimately it points to Jesus Christ. Any good that David had, any grace that he received, any spiritual and any other sort of blessing that we get from this or any other portion of Scripture is because of who Christ is, of course, and what he has done for us. Now, whenever it was that David wrote this, we see here that he's speaking about the fact that there is apparently trouble, and he is calling upon Jehovah to answer someone in trouble. We don't know who, and so it's very applicable to all the people of God. But where is this help to come from? Where is this answer to arrive from? Notice where he's speaking of here in these first three verses. It is the name of the God of Jacob, the name Jehovah. And may he send you help from the sanctuary. People nowadays use that word sanctuary kind of loosely to mean the auditorium in a church building. But literally it means the holy place. And the auditorium in a church building is no more holy in and of itself than the auditorium in a music hall or the auditorium in a movie theater. They are all equally holy or not. The sanctuary that's spoken of here is the holy place in the temple, a great big building, children, that was important not in and of itself, but because the temple itself was kind of a three-dimensional picture of something. The temple itself was a picture of the people of God. And now in New Testament times, we are the living temple. Although someone might think that the old temple in Old Testament times, the one that was rebuilt and was around when Jesus was walking this earth, they might think that that was a real one because, after all, it was built of stone. It was built of cedar wood. It was built with gold overlay on things. These are real things we can handle and touch. But the Bible says that ultimately it was only a picture. The real temple is you and me. We are the living stones that the temple is built out of. We are purified gold. We, because of the work of Jesus Christ, have a sweet smell about us like the cedar. We are the sanctuary. We are the people of God, and we are built upon the foundation, as we've said before, quoting from Scripture, of the prophets and the apostles, with Jesus Christ as the head cornerstone. Now, when David is calling for help to come from the sanctuary, he is meaning from the holy place, and most especially the most holy place, which was a picture of the work, a place where the picture of the work and the person of Jesus Christ was shown every year. For there the high priest every year sacrificed or had the blood of a sacrificed goat that would atone for the sins of the people. Not really. But it was a picture of the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ. The priest himself, the high priest, was a picture of Jesus Christ, our high priest. So, when David says, "May he send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion, may he remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice," he's saying here, may God give you help because of what, in David's time, Jesus will do. And now this psalm is useful for us because we no longer deal with pictures, with types, with forms and shadows. We deal with the real thing. Jesus Christ has been our priest and continues such. He has shed his blood, and from him helps come forth for his people. David goes on to say then in verse 4, may he grant you according to your heart's desire and fulfill all your purpose. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. May Jehovah fulfill all your petitions. All right, it is in Jesus Christ that all the promises of God are yes and amen. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter, I believe it is, chapter 1, and I can't remember the reference, forgive me for that, but he calls them great and precious promises. We have the assurance that all of our dreams will come true, all our real ones. It doesn't mean maybe that you shall have a Prince Charming someday, although maybe it does mean that. Maybe it does mean that. For who do we desire most of all? Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none on earth I desire beside thee. We sing sometimes from Psalm 73, and that is speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is portrayed here. Yes, as a matter of fact, all of our greatest dreams, all of our fondest hopes, all of our greatest desires are to be found in Jesus. For you, child of God, is it not your desire to be like him? Isn't it your desire to know him even as you have been known? Isn't it your desire to show back that love that's been shown to you? Does it not grieve you at times that your love is so cold and your zeal is so pokey? Doesn't it grieve you at times, and don't you long for the day when sin shall have less power? In fact, does it not thrill you to think that there is a day coming when sin should be gone out of your life? Well, all those desires which are planted in you by the Holy Spirit, all those wishes and dreams of holiness, they shall be fulfilled. And everything that you desire for God's glory, everything that you desire for seeing Christ exalted, those shall come to pass. And those are your greatest and most wonderful dreams, beside which everything else really fails. Now, we go on in verse 6. I know that Jehovah saves his anointed. He will answer from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Sometimes people say, we don't want to just sing the psalms. We want to sing about Christ. When you sing from Psalm 20, you do just that. And in fact, it's possible to use his title here of Christ. Because that word anointed, it's an English word, of course. But it reflects the Hebrew word in the original, the Mashiach, where we get our term Messiah. In the version of the Old Testament that many New Testament people use, the Septuagint, it was translated into Greek, and there it talked of, the word was not Mashiach, but Christos, or Christ. We could quite properly translate this, now I know that the Lord saves his Christ. And so he did. He raised him from the dead, since Jesus Christ had atoned for all of our sin on the cross. He raised him and all who are in him with him. And so it is that earthly kings, and that is what we are in Jesus Christ, and earthly priests, that is also what we are in Jesus Christ, we are raised along with him. We are delivered with the Christ. We are answered from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Now lastly, some trust in chariots and some in horses. Boy, how this ties in with the last couple of weeks in Isaiah and today's sermon in Isaiah. But we will remember the name of Jehovah our God. We do not say, well, we will be pacifists. That's not what this is talking about at all. It's just like we pray, give us this day our daily bread, but we don't wait for manna to show up on the ground or heavenly parachutes of care packages. We pray, give us this day our daily bread, and then we work trusting God to work through our work. And so it is here. We don't trust in chariots. We don't trust in horses. We as a society, I hope, do not trust in our military. We rather trust in Jehovah our God, the name of Jehovah our God. Others who refuse to do so, and may we not be counted in that number, but sometimes I fear we might. They have bowed down and fallen, just like the Assyrians long ago before the walls of Jerusalem. But we have risen and stand upright, and that is because of the risen Messiah, the risen anointed, the risen Lord Jesus Christ. It's in him, then, that David could say, and we also save, Lord, may the King, Jehovah's King, whom he has set in his holy hill in Zion, may that King answer us when we call.